So we've been sharing a few lessons. I know Pastor Greg has been teaching some lessons, but you know, that's an interesting thought somebody shared yesterday at an event we were at. And it's always important to remember that whatever we do, we have a blood covenant. We have a covenant that's sealed in the blood of Jesus. And so that covenant is key when we bring our tithe, we bring our seed into it. God obligates himself to fulfill his word. He said he never changes. I don't lie. So God is obligated. When we do what we're supposed to do, he then in turn obligates himself to see that the word is fulfilled if we will just hold steady and trust him. So when we're talking about divine increase, you have to always look at this covenant that we have. That yes, we can work hard in the natural, and we do, and you know, you can work hard and achieve some success in life. But when we're talking about divine increase affects all of our lives, our spirit and our soul and our body. You know, there's some things you can work hard at, but you cannot change some things in your soul. You know, if something is really pressuring you, you may need some divine intervention. And he said, my peace I've given to you. Be not troubled. So some things, when we're talking about divine increase, we really are looking at what is our covenant rights. And when we look at those things, we have an absolute assurity that God will honor that if we do what? Not just pray, but pray in faith, believe in faith. So faith is key when we talk about this. And the scripture in Galatians 6 in the Passion Translation says, God will never be mocked, for what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. So what you plant will be the very thing that you harvest. So if you plant love, you're going to reap love. If you plant in the area of finances, you're going to reap. God's going to see to it that he's going to, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he's not only, he gives you seed to sow, but he gives you bread for food, and he multiplies your seed sown. And always don't look and say, well, I gave my money on Sunday and I expect to harvest next week. Sometime that may happen, but God is the one that fulfills that, and he's the one that brings it to pass in your life. So in Isaiah 55:8, what we were reading before or sharing before, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow and returneth not thither, but it does what? Those natural things water the earth, right? And that watering makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So the seed that you sow, and you do what? It says that rain watereth the seed. See, that's an important thing to keep in mind here. It says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow and returns not thither, but it does what? It waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud that it may give seed to the sower. So the seed that you sow needs to be what? Watered, or it'll wither. So this supernatural seed, this incorruptible seed, the word of God that's been sown, needs to be watered. And that watering is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the watering is the consistent watering of the word of God. And that consistent watering waters the earth, and it causes the seed that's been sown to be watered and to do what? Bring forth and bud. That's a process. And that's where we go back, and you can look at the parable of the sower, where it says some seed withered up because it didn't get enough water. And that's what Brother Hagin said when he was alive. He said the Lord told him that the one reason that Christians' faith is not as productive as it should be is because they reject the watering process. So the seed gets planted, but it needs to be watered. And that watering is from a consistent watering of the Word of God. So the seed will produce, and then it goes on to say in verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now John 10:10, we've looked at this a few times. It says, the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. My purpose is to give them, this is the New Living Translation. It says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And I like the Passion Translation. It says, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. That's what the thief's purpose is. Only one purpose, one thing in mind. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. So we're not to chase after, always remember, we're not to chase after riches, but we're to chase after God, chase after his word. And the word, as we do what? As we sow our seed, as we confess the word, as we believe God for certain things, and we water that, this says here, I've come to do what? I've come to give you everything in abundance. So that means every area of our life should be producing and continue to produce something in abundance. And what? More than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. So that means I might be producing something over in this field, but this field over here is not producing much. So, and that's the same in all lives. We might be exercising and producing in the area of love, but maybe in our other walk over here, maybe in our worry walk or some other kind of thing you're thinking about, we're not producing. We're not at peace. Everybody understand that? So we should be doing what? It says, he said, but I've come to give you everything in abundance. That means peace, joy, prosperity, health, everything in abundance, everything. We should not lack anything. And that doesn't mean God doesn't love us. That just means that we have to make an adjustment. We have to say, you know what? I've been doing good over here. I'm going to pursue something. You know, and I was sharing this a few weeks ago, what you hunger after, you become determined to do something. When you're not hungry to change something, you're like, I'm happy. Everything's cool. But we should hunger to grow, just like you reach certain stages in your life and you go, you know what? I want to pursue this. I want to add to my life. You want to grow in a particular area. What caused you to do that? You had a hunger to do that. And so you began to determine in your mind, I'm going to pursue this and do this. So it's the same thing with spiritual things. When you hunger after God and you hunger to grow in certain things spiritually, you make up and determine that I'm going to do this. You may bump around, you may bump and make some mistakes, but you're determined to do this. You know, you watch the Olympics, they make a lot of falls, they're falling, and then what do? They keep practicing, they fall, they practice, they fall, they miss it, they fall, but they're what? Determined that I'm going to get to that place, that goal, you know, whatever that goal is. I'm determined to reach it. And so that's the same thing. We have to be determined, and that determination is fueled by hunger, my hunger to get something. And all it takes, really, is what? The T word, time. And so sometimes life and the other things we do get in the way of that, but it's you know, as they say, it's our choice. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 6, 7, and 8, it says, I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. Isn't that good? It says, I planted the seed. This is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. He said, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. So he came behind it. See the watering? How was the watering? He kept sharing the word, sharing the word, sharing the word. He said, Paul planted it. That means that was the first time they heard it. He planted. Apollos came up behind him and did what? It says he watered, but it was God who made it to grow. So always remember, we're back to what it says in Isaiah. It's basically that's saying the same thing. What did he say? So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish what it pleases, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. But what I was, back up a verse, it says, for as the rain cometh down from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth. So the Apollos did what? He watered the seed. He watered our spirit. He watered them. They had to be open to receive it, and it watered the seed that was planted, but it was God who made it grow. And then it goes on, this is the New Living, it says, it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. So, what does that mean? Going back to what I was saying, be aware of who's in you. It says if God makes the seed grow, he's in you. So you can always release your faith and say, I believe I receive that today. I believe, thank you, God, for the watering today. I believe you're making the seed of love grow in me. I believe that you're making the seed of peace grow in me. Those seeds have been planted and watered, and I believe you're making that expand in me and grow. And you release your faith that way. says the one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are God's work, both God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. Hallelujah. Now let's look quickly at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is the King James. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. It says that we would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom in glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because, hope you're following along, look what this says, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you've got to receive it. When ye received the word of God which you heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which, what? Effectually worketh in you that believe. Whew, that's a powerful verse. So when you receive the word that was spoken unto you, you received it not as the word of men, but as the word of God, which goes on and says what? As it is in truth, the word of God, which worketh, effectually worketh in you that belief. That phrase in the Greek, this word effectually worketh, that Greek word is energeo. That's where we get the word energy from. It effectually worketh. It's energized in me. How does it get energized in me? Because I believed. I believe, and it's energized. That's what it says. It says to be active, to be mighty in, effectually work in. So when I receive it and I believe it, bang, it's energized. It's activated. So it must be received or believed and planted and then what? Continually watered. Hallelujah. Now let's take a quick look I wanted to look at these verses today. John chapter 15 and verses 1 through 5. So always remember as we look at this, you know, seed, the seed of God's word, and the seed that gets planted, the incorruptible seed, is powerless until it's what? Planted. The seed must be planted in good ground, or must be planted in ground and watered. It must be, in order for the seed to produce, it must be planted and watered. And the growing, you know, you can plant a seed in the ground, but the growing comes after the watering. So you've got to plant the seed and water it, and it begins that, in the natural, that germination process where it begins to grow. So the seed must first be received and believed and watered, and then it begins to produce, begins to the production process. So starting in verse 1 of John 15, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Well, how do you get to the place of not bearing fruit? That means you didn't plant any seed, you didn't water it, nothing's going on. So it's, what does it say? He said, every branch that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he does what? He purges it. That means he prunes it. And that it does what? That it may bring forth more fruit. Now what? Now ye are clean through the word that which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. So we can't bear fruit unless we stay connected and abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in what? In me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. That means you're powerless. So that means we must stay connected to the vine. And to the degree that you keep watering is the degree that that production process or the production or the fruit that's born is increased. So this word, this also what I like about the verse 3, it says, now ye are clean through the word. This word clean, the description of this word means that you're free from corrupt desires. Corrupt desires. It also says free from every admixture which is false. You know, if you're in any kind of business that produces a product and you want to follow that particular formula to produce something that has some efficacy or some effectiveness, right? You don't want to add something to it, because what happens? It won't produce. It won't produce what it says it will. So it has some other element, or you've added something to it, so now it's diluted, right? It's not as strong. It's not as effective. So that's what this says here. Free from every admixture of what is false. So by staying connected to the vine, that you're going to have no other things added in to what you're receiving from the word that does what? Creates some kind of falsity or something that's not of the light. Right? So if you abide in the vine, then you're abiding in what? You're abiding in the light. And if you abide in the light, you'll bear much fruit. So 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, 6, and 7. I like this in 1 John. It says, life, this is in the Passion Translation, says, this is the life-giving message we heard him share, and it's still ringing in our ears. We now repeat his words to you. God is pure light. You will never find even a trace of darkness in him. If we claim that we share life with him, but keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves and not living the truth. But if you keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleanses us from all sin. So if we walk in the light, and continually stay there and connected to the vine, then what does that do? It means that we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. So if we walk in the light, we walk in the love of God. I just want to just share this briefly before we close here. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 4, Luke chapter 8 and verse 4 and 5, this is the parable of the sower. And of course, you know, this is in Mark 4, but we're going to look at Luke 8. And we know that there's four different types of ground, that there's wayside ground that it was that we know, and there's one that says there's stony ground or rocky soil it talks about, and then there's thorns and thistles, and then good ground. But in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4, this is the King James, it said, "When much people were gathered and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable." Verse 5, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it." And then the rest of this goes on. "And some fell on upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it what? It lacked moisture, no watering." Right? Got to keep watering it. "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.'" Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. So this is when we read in verse 5, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed, and some fell by wayside, and it was trodden down. Well, down here, when he unfolds this parable, he said, "And those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should" what? "Believe and be saved." So, I know when I've read that first, I go, well, how could the devil just come and take seed, the word that's been sown, out of their hearts? Because it says, unless they believe and are saved. Well, how could he could just come and take the word that's been sown? But if you go and you look up the word trodden, when it says trodden down, that word means stepped on. It means rejected. It means, another word that it means rejected. It means, you know, disdained. So in other words, they didn't receive it. So the minute you go, "I don't believe that," then the devil comes with thoughts, and you go, "Yeah, see, I don't believe that." And he takes the seed that's been planted in your heart, he takes it. That's when it says the fowls come and eat it and take it away. They eat it up. So we need to make sure when we go back, you know, I'm just pointing that out, but when you go back and you look at what we shared originally, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye did" what? "Receive the word." You didn't step on it. You didn't trodden on it. You didn't reject it. See? When you do that, you protect yourself, because what? Remember in Galatians, it talks about the shield of faith. It talks about the armor of God, and it talks about the shield of faith quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. I'm sorry, Ephesians 6. I said Galatians. But Ephesians, it talks about that armor of faith, the shield of faith quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. But you can't step on the word of God. You can't go, I don't believe that. Because this says, for this cause, when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that do what? Believe. So the devil cannot steal or destroy the word, the seed that's been planted in you, unless you let him. He can't, he cannot. He's not more powerful than God. He's not more powerful than the word of God. So he can't just come in and steal unless we let him. If we stand against him, what does James say? It says, submit yourself therefore to God, or you could say submit yourself to the word, resist the devil, and he will flee from thee. So he cannot just come in and steal. Now, he may try to make you or cause symptoms in your body or cause circumstances in your life. You know, always remember this. You can't stop mountains from coming. You can't stop the mountain, but faith will move every mountain. Faith will move mountains, but I may not be able to stop a mountain, but I can move the mountain with faith. Everybody understand that? So the devil may cause or create circumstances in our life and situations through people and circumstances, but I don't have to yield to the pressure and the circumstance. Because through faith and patience, we're going to overcome. Through faith and patience, we're going to overcome. We will overcome. And sometimes it may not look like you're going to overcome, but you just at that point say, ha, 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 I believe God. And I believe his word, and I resist you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, we need to believe God, not question God. And also, when I say not question God, not question his word. If something is going on in life and we want an answer, say, God, I don't understand this. Would you help me? Show me what to do. And if you wait on him, he'll show you what to do. He'll give you an answer. If we wait. You know, I've so many times in life, I've had... there have been circumstances where you feel the weight of a pressure, or you feel something, you know, it just feels overwhelming, and the Holy Ghost will just softly say such and such, and it lifts you. You get a revelation. You get an answer to that which is pressuring you, right? It's a comfort. It's an answer. It's a joy. Didn't say it was joyful going through it. But boy, I'll tell you, when he gives you an answer, it may be in his word, but it may be something he shares with you. If we wait on him, he'll direct us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, this world and all that's going on, and the things that are going on, always remember God is greater. His word is greater, and he will lead me every step of the way through things that are going on in life. You know, there was somebody that we're helping, and, you know, she's staying in a motel, and, you know, she's from another country, and we're helping, you know, I spoke with her yesterday after we were done with this event, and she said, you know, this person in the morning shift is so pleasant to us, but the guy in the night, he just screams and yells at us, and he's so angry and nasty and all of this. And I said, let me ask a question. I said, who lives in you? Jesus. I said, okay, Jesus lives in you, right? Yes. I said, so sometimes, I said, I'm not saying that that's what this is, but I said, sometimes, I said, the devil works through people and they don't even realize it. They just don't like you, or they're just angry at you for something and they don't even know why. They're just being motivated by the devil. And I said, so who lives in you? Jesus. I said, okay, so if Jesus lives in you, that which is motivating a person like that may not like what they see. And it may be trying to cause you to be frustrated. You're away from your family, you're in this country, you're from Africa, you're feeling all of this, and you're feeling like, what is this? What did I do to this person? I said, always remember, love is greater. Just you know, respond, you know, with the love of God. And I said, always remember your covenant rights. You have authority in the name of Jesus. I said, what things soever you bind on earth are bound in heaven, whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. I said, if it is demonically inspired and there's demons involved in this, they have to respond to the name of Jesus. They must. You know, I remember years ago, this was a family situation, in-law, and I remember I went to visit them. They were in a tough, very difficult spot. They weren't saved, and I remember sharing the gospel with them, and I remember they were like, I don't want to talk about this. Do we have, can you change the subject? You know, and it was just real resistance, like this, just resistance. And I shared, and I said, sure, no problem. We'll talk about baseball, whatever. You sure could use it. You could use Jesus right now, but if you don't want me to talk about him, I'm here to help you. So I remember I wasn't going to see him for 2 weeks. And during that 2 weeks, every opportunity I had, I said, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus from them being resistant to the gospel. And I bind you in the name of Jesus, and you take your hands off of them. I remember like yesterday. And the next time I went to see them, there was no resistance, and they just kept saying, well, tell us a little more, tell us some more, tell us some more, tell us some more. And they eventually got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, laid hands on them, and bang, instantly received. But you can't just say, well, I ain't gonna talk to them because they don't want to hear what I got to say. Always remember, you're fighting against the one that doesn't want them to hear and be saved. So just say, okay, fine, we'll change the subject, but in the background, I'm taking authority over that which is blinding them. And they were more than receptive the next time I saw them. So, you know, remember who you are in Christ. Remember, be aware of who you are, not what people tell you and think, you know, call you all kinds of names and stuff and oppose you and say things. Remember who you are. I'm in Christ, and he lives in me. Right? Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we're filled with you, filled with the fullness of God. And we thank you that as we go through life, we may face opposition, but greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And Father, we thank you that you care for us. Thank you that we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus and sealed by the blood of Jesus. And we thank you this day for prospering us and giving us health and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we thank you for it. Thank you for this word that we've heard today. Thank you that it may be seed sown for some and it's watering for all of us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you that some have sown and some have watered, but we thank you and acknowledge, God, that you're the one that brings it to pass. You're the ones that makes it to grow in us. And we thank you that you're causing the seed that's been sown in us to grow. And we thank you that every good seed that we've planted shall bear fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God, praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God.